She's not here to judge. She's here to report the honest news on healthy living. She's Andrea Donsky, along with Lisa Davis. It's time for Naturally Savvy.
We've all heard for years about how important it is, obviously, to eat a healthy diet. We talk about that here on Naturally Savvy all the time. And I'm so glad to have Debbie Matenopoulos on the program. We're going to talk about her book, It's All Greek to Me, Transform Your Health, The Mediterranean Way with My Family's Century-Old Recipes. Debbie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's so great to have you on. Normally, I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Andrea, who is traveling. Hello, Andrea. Just want to give a shout out. All right, Debbie, let's talk about this. You went to Greece. You had your mother cooking all summer. You had to get these recipes out of your relatives. Tell us the whole thing. What was it like?
It was really amazing. I mean, this book started because friends would always say to me, you know, did you go to culinary school? How do you know how to cook so well? And it always seemed like such a strange question to me because I'm Greek. And I thought, well, no, I'm Greek. I grew up in a kitchen full of women that were constantly cooking and laughing and chatting and eating. And, you know, you learn from simply being around them. And then you hone your skills even more as you get older. And I would have these big dinner parties at my house all the time. And I wanted to share my family's recipes and my culture with the world. That's how it initially started. But in the process of making this book and going to Greece and collecting these recipes and putting all this down on paper and doing these little vignettes about the culture and going into family-run bakeries and butchers and these farms where they have, you know, free-roaming animals, et cetera, and just organic produce markets, et cetera, it ended up turning into a big love letter to Greece, as much as it is a great cookbook, and the health benefits of it alone are immeasurable, as everybody knows. The Mediterranean diet is probably one of, in my opinion, the best diet to adhere by if you're trying to live a healthy life and you know, lower your cholesterol and sort of monitor your fat intake, so it's good fat, et cetera. So I go to Greece, I collect all these recipes, I pry them from the hands of my family, which was not easy because at first they were cautious. Like, what are you doing? Why are you trying to share all of our recipes with everybody? You know, my mom's like, you know, I make the best garlic butter call in the whole town. I don't want everyone to know my recipe. I'm like, Mom, trust me. You're going to love it once I get it down on paper. So by the end of it, by the end of the time of me gathering all these books that my grandmother had literally written, handwritten in her Greek handwriting, and translating them into English, by the end of the time I was there, everyone in this little beach town, like, / village in Greece was coming to my mother's door and knocking on the door with these plates and saying, please, can you put my recipe in the book too? I'm not kidding.
That is
really
awesome.
Amazing. It was at first they're like, no, no, no. And then by the end of it, everybody wanted their recipes in the book. So unfortunately,
I was able to
put 500 recipes in there. So I think a few people might be a little upset when we return to Greece this summer, but you know, I did the best I could. So,
well, book two, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I said. Book two. I mean, it never ends. Yeah. We had a really great time doing this, and we cooked all summer and photographed all the dishes. My mom and my aunts and my cousins, they were all the food stylists. I mean, this was really a homegrown book.
Oh, that is great. What did you learn most about yourself, Debbie, from doing this book?
Wow, what I learned most about myself? Probably that I have more patience than I thought I did, and I can function on probably about 3 hours of sleep. I had no idea that was possible, but we had a very limited amount of time to do the book. You know, you get a book deal, they say go over there, get it done, and then come back, and you have to have everything, you have to have the transcript ready to go to the editors, et cetera, because, you know, it's a big process doing a book, which I come from the world of TV. So I'm used to doing a daily TV show and getting it done and then turning it out for the night. But a book is such a much bigger process. I mean, I have the utmost respect for people who write books over and over because it is a big undertaking. So having said that, we were on a very limited amount of time and we were traveling around Greece to get out to collect all these things. So we had about 3 weeks to do this whole thing in Greece. And it really took a lot of time and me and my team not having much sleep, but we got it done. I mean, I'm very
proud
of this. Of all the things I've done, I'm really proud of it. I felt like it was like I delivered a baby at the end, you know?
Oh, well, I was so moved by the book, the stories and the photos. I love that photo of you petting that white goat and you have this beautiful flowered dress on. And I was so moved by the dedication to your father. I'm so sorry about him passing. I know he had ALS and it must be a real mixed emotions for you with this book now.
Yeah. It was really tough. I mean, there was no question in my mind when I started to write this that I wanted to dedicate it to my dad and to also donate proceeds of the book to the ALS Association. I mean, it's such a, anyone who knows anything about ALS is just, it's such a debilitating, hateful disease, and they don't have any answers. They don't know why it happens. They have some ideas maybe why, but they really can't pinpoint anything. And not only that, they don't have any medicine that can even slow the progression. So when you get a diagnosis like ALS, it's so unfortunate because it's really, they try to wait as long as possible, and they test you for everything before they'll even say that you have Lou Gehrig's. Because when you hear those words, it's unfortunately at this time a death sentence. And if there's anything I can do to change that, I will personally do it myself. I will raise as much money and as much awareness for this disease so that we are, our scientists are working harder and we are trying to find a cure or any sort of medicine or even a reason as to why this is occurring. It's occurring more now than it ever has been. And it's just such an awful thing. I mean, I left Hollywood. I moved from L.A. to Virginia for 3 years to take care of my dad when he had just started getting sick, and my mother and I cared for him personally, and we had doctors and nurses come to the house, but I didn't want him to have to live in a home, so we did it at our house, and it's really difficult. ALS is as difficult on the family as it is on the patient, and I think probably one of the worst things about ALS is that the person who is suffering from ALS, they still have 100% of their wits about them. They're still together in their brain. But it robs you of your body. You become a prisoner in your own body. And it's really difficult to see somebody go through that.
Oh, I'm sure. Debbie, I'm so glad that you were there for him. I'm sure it was just invaluable for you and for your mother. And that must have increased the closeness you have with her and the rest of your family for you to do what you did.
Yeah. I mean, I miss him every day. And I'm pregnant now, and I'm 5 months pregnant, and whether I have a girl or a boy, I'm going to name it Nico. That's my dad.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, my mother passed in 95, and my daughter, her name is, in Jewish tradition, you take the first initial of the person who passed away. So my daughter's name is Lila. So I think it's really important, these family traditions. Yeah, aren't they?
I totally agree with you. I totally agree. I mean, Jewish families and Greek families are very similar in the fact that we're so close-knit. You know, we're really close-knit. Everything revolves around food, whether we're, you know, at a wedding, a funeral, whatever it is, we're always eating and laughing. And I think that's really good. There's something to that. You know what I mean?
Oh, totally. Like, I know. The only thing is I don't know how to cook any Jewish food, although I have to tell you a funny story. So on Hanukkah, I made latkes,
what kind of
right?
Jewish girl are you?
No, I'm... my mother wasn't big into cooking. Oh my gosh, you have to come back. We have to go. I just want to say, I made so many latkes that I actually got sick on the spot because they're deep fried and I'm not used to fried food. So I have to learn how to gauge myself. I did make your Slovaki parsomi lethem manano, the olive oil marinated fish cobs. They're great. Tell us how we can find you, dear, and then please come back. This has been so wonderful.
Oh, I will come back. Of course. Well, you can find me tomorrow. I'm going to be on The View again. All the 11 co-hosts reuniting for the first time ever in View history on the stage tomorrow. And also you can find me at IAMDebbieM on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. So it's IAMDebbieM. And I'll tweet back Instagram at you, and I'll answer all your questions on Facebook.
Yes, I'm going to get you back. I'm Lisa Davis. This is Naturally Savvy Radio. Thanks for listening and stay well.